Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Homeris and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up in a casual setting for conversation around God's Word, the Bible. Join us now for Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.
Well, we'd like to welcome you to our gathering here as we meet together for our discussion around God's Word on Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. And it's so nice having all of you join us. Hi, this is Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. As always, we're so happy to be here and to have you sitting in on our conversation with Pastor Joe. As we take this break in our day or evening to once again pause for some spiritual food as we talk about the Bible and how it speaks to us and guides us in our day-to-day lives. And as we said, this is Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, and here he is, as promised. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. Isn't it wonderful that this is the day the Lord has made? Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes, indeed.
Amen. Now, all of the third chapter of John is just packed full of an explanation of what God is looking for from us and what is required to be saved and have everlasting life. But one verse that stands out to me, because I had confusion about it before I was born again, is verse 35 in this third chapter of John. Pastor Joe, could you read that for us?
Sure. John 3:35, right?
Yes.
The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand.
Now, from my Protestant church background, I grew up thinking that believing in God and trying to be good was all important to getting into heaven. So when my sister was saved and explained to me that it was important to believe in Jesus, I was so confused. I thought that Jesus was God's Son, yes, but isn't his purpose to lead us to God, the Father? And so if I believe in God, what further role is Jesus supposed to play? Why is he so important to focus on in my life? But then here's this verse, 35, that says that the Father has given all things into Jesus' hand. So we've talked about needing to be born again, but in case anyone else out there is confused by the importance of Jesus' role in our lives, Pastor Joe, could you please explain this verse and why it's all important to God that we believe in and love his Son and not just recognize God?
Good question. And to answer this question, we need to look at the role of Jesus Christ in the Trinity. Christians believe, the Bible teaches, that there is the nature of God called the Godhead, or as many people know it, the Trinity. We believe in one God who has revealed himself in three separate distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. One God manifesting himself in three persons. Each member of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are co-equal and have all of the attributes of God. Just as God the Father is all-powerful and all-knowing and is everywhere, so is Jesus, all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. But in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father loves the Son so much, and he has chosen to honor the Son, that he has delegated the role of creator and judge and intermediary of all things, including the creation, into the hand of the Son, into the authority of the Son. And therefore, Jesus Christ is the agent of God between God and man, but also he is the mediator between God and man and the one that has created all things. And also, God the Father has given the Son the honor and the praise that the Father wants the Son to have. He has exalted the Son to the place of preeminence over all things. That's what Colossians chapter 1 says, that in him he shall have all the preeminence. So when it talks about the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand, it doesn't mean that the Father transfers all of his nature and everything that he is to the Son, and that the Father is only a person in name only and no longer has a nature of God. No. It means that the Father loves the Son so much, he desires to exalt the Son in such a way that everything must go through Jesus. Jesus is the sinner's advocate, and to have a relationship with the Father, the sinner must be saved through Jesus Christ, and his prayers and his relationship with the Father must be mediated through Jesus Christ to be acceptable. But also, the Father loves the Son in the sense that he desires to honor the Son, so that in his role as creator and judge and Lord of all and sustainer of all things, we all must look to the Son. We all must give our attention to the Son, and therefore we must all honor the Son in doing so, respect the Son, magnify and exalt the Son if all attention and praise is going to be on the Son from God's creation, including us as human beings.
Yes. And as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So that ties into what you're saying, Pastor Joe.
Yes, it is saying in John 14:6 that you just quoted, way, truth, and life. There's no way to the Father except through Jesus. If a person wants a relationship with God, they have to go through Jesus Christ by faith in the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, or else they will never know God. But Jesus is the truth as well in that verse that you quoted. He is the truth. That is, Jesus in his nature is the divine logos of God. Logos in the Greek means word. So Jesus as the living word of God through whom God communicates to mankind, through Jesus, God, who is God's spokesman, he is God's prophet, he is God's teacher. Jesus has the message that God the Father wanted him to bring to the earth and to share with all of us in this world so that we can know God himself. Jesus is the one who teaches us truth. And so in the Bible, we have a record of the written word of God that Jesus, the living word of God, gave to the apostles and the prophets and all of the writers of the Bible so that he would teach us all of God's truths that will not only lead to our salvation if we trust in him as our Lord and Savior, but will also for the rest of our lives after we are saved, continue to teach us about God so that we could know God more deeply, so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of God, so that we can increase our intellectual and spiritual knowledge of God to have a better worship experience, a deeper worship experience as time goes by. But also, the more we know about God through our teacher, Jesus Christ, who is the truth, the more we will appreciate who God is and the more truth we will be able to share with a blind, ignorant, starving world who is ignorant of the truth.
Yes. Now, we said we're looking at John 3:16, but as you alluded to earlier, verse 17 is directly tied into what is being said here. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Pastor Joe, could you talk about how these verses are tied together?
Well, verse 16 talks about salvation through Christ. There is a stipulation, there is a condition, which is faith in Jesus Christ. And those who put their trust in Jesus Christ will not come into condemnation, but will have eternal life. And verse 17 says that the reason why God sent him, that is Jesus, into the world was not to condemn the world. The ultimate purpose of God is that he does not delight in the death of the wicked. God does not like to see people die and go to hell and perish and be tormented in the lake of fire forever, but that the world through Jesus might be saved. So verse 17 is giving us an additional reason why God sent his Son into the world, to save us, not to condemn us. As a matter of fact, the very name of Jesus means Savior. Yeshua HaMashiach in the Hebrew language means the anointed one of God, or Jesus the Messiah, the one who is anointed of the Father and sent into the world to save us from our sins. If he wanted to, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and ate that forbidden fruit, God could have cast Adam and Eve and all of their descendants after them, including you and me, in hell and have us punished there forever. But God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world. It's not in God's nature to delight in the punishment of sinners forever in the lake of fire. He does not want that to happen. And so he sent us a Savior who would give us eternal life, not condemn us. So there is this twofold idea in salvation. There is first the truth that we're all sinners and we deserve to be punished because of our sins and because we've broken God's law deliberately, and we deserve condemnation and punishment forever. Yes, forever. That's how much God hates sin. And that's how just God is, that he cannot sweep one sin under the rug, so to speak. He must be a faithful, perfect judge. But that condemnation is merited by sinners. They choose darkness rather than light. But in the infinite love of God, which cannot even be described, it is so great, so deep, so wide, so high, God prefers to save souls. Instead of all men and women dying and going to hell, God sent his Son to save those who would put their trust in him. And so verse 17 shows us the love of God, even though we know that those who perish and die outside of saving faith in Jesus Christ, they will be condemned, they will be punished forever. But God did not want that to happen, and that's why he sent his Son into the world to save sinners.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, Joe Jackowitz, and we'll return to our program in just a moment, so don't go away. There's much more to come. Pastor Joe is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. Now, perhaps you've got a question you would like to ask Pastor Joe, or a comment you would like us to share on an upcoming episode of Bible Talk. Well, you can do just that by simply emailing us. Here's the email address, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. Again, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also mail in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply tap on the Contact Us tab on our website, firstloveradio.org, and ask your question there. Be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this information at the end of our program, but for now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
Well, since we've been talking all about salvation, there's also another question that I'm sure is coming up in many people's minds. And not only those seeking to become saved, but even in some believers' minds. Rich and I, in interviewing people for years, we've met many believers who've also asked us this very question. And that is, how can I know that I'm saved? Or can we know? Pastor Joe, can you please talk about what the Bible has to say about that?
Well, once a person becomes a born-again Christian, that person receives the Spirit of God who lives inside their minds and their bodies and their heart. And therefore, we receive the Spirit of God himself, which is an amazing mystery, and it's an amazing privilege that God himself would come to live inside of his children. And most of the time, we don't feel God's presence with us. But every once in a while, the presence of the Spirit of God, the influence of the Spirit of God, will make itself known to us in our minds and in our hearts by giving us tokens of his presence. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God, who lives inside of us, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so the Spirit of God is identified in this sense also by another term called the Spirit of Adoption. And so since we are not natural children, God only has one natural child, so to speak, if I might use that metaphor, only one biological child or son. And not that he was born, Jesus was never born, in that he was out of existence in one moment and then the next moment he was created. No, the Bible teaches that Jesus was not created. He was begotten, but not created. And there's a doctrinal term called the eternal generation of the Son that expresses this aspect of Christ's nature. That even though the King James Version uses the term begotten, which implies that he was created, that's not what it actually means in reality. It means that he was eternally begotten. He was always in existence in the past from all eternity because he's God, and God is not created. God was always in existence, and God himself is the one that creates all things. And Jesus, among the three members of the Godhead, is the one tasked with creating all things by the word of his power. Now, the amazing truth of oneness, that once a person becomes a child of God, a believer, God becomes one with that person. And that oneness is known by the Spirit of God coming to live inside of our bodies. And though we are not natural children of God because we're all sinners by birth, Jesus is the only child after God, the only one that has the same nature and substance as the Father has. The rest of God's children are adopted into the kingdom of God as God's children. And when it talks about the Spirit of Adoption, what we're talking about is the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God who comes to live inside of us after we become a child of God. He performs a task in that the Spirit of God gives my spirit as a child of God a witness that communicates to my spirit that I am God's child. I am one of God's children. Even though I'm adopted, the Spirit testifies to me that I'm still a child of God. And that's why he is known as the Spirit of Adoption. And the result of the Spirit of Adoption working in my mind, testifying that I am God's child, is that we will cry out instinctively, Abba, Father. Just as a little child, I know that Rich and Bobby, both of you have children, I have children. You'll remember that when your children were very, very young, maybe a year or 2 years old, if they fell and hurt themselves, they will naturally cry out, Mommy or Daddy, for help. And the same thing is true with a child of God. Since we are children of God, God has given us the same nature he has. It's called the divine nature. And with the divine nature comes the presence of the Spirit of God living inside of us. And the Spirit of God performs a vital function whereby he regularly bears witness with our minds and our hearts and our spirits that we are born again. We have this new nature. Even though the new nature of a child of God is in often conflict with that old nature, that selfish, sinful, evil nature, which mostly has been defeated, there is still the presence of that old nature with us to be like a spoiler. Nevertheless, the presence of the Spirit of God in us and the new nature will bear witness with our spirit, will give us this peace and assurance and this testimony that our sins are forgiven. It's a very miraculous, mysterious function that the Holy Spirit provides for the children of God, but it is a priceless, precious ministry the Spirit of God performs in us to remind us from time to time that though we have many trials and tribulations in this world, though we suffer and are persecuted as Christians, though we often may have doubts and be depressed and have all kinds of psychological, emotional, and spiritual battles and physical battles, yet the Spirit of God reminds us in his own wonderful, unique way that no matter what happens to us, we are God's children. He that started a work in you will perform it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And he won't leave us to ourselves to be scratching our heads and always be wondering, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. Am I a child of God? Am I really saved? Will I make it to the end one day? Will I make it to the kingdom in the last day? No, he's given us of his Spirit. And through his Spirit and through the providence of God, through the reading and meditation of the Scriptures and through prayer, the Holy Spirit is so skillful at communicating with our own spirit that lives inside of us to remind us that we are his children and we can never, ever, ever lose our salvation and be separated from the love of God.
Praise God. Praise God for that. You know, I can speak personally, and like you said, Pastor Joe, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us that gift of letting us feel the presence of God with no question. You know, that you know that's him with you. And it is such a blessing. Just, you know, when you do become born again, very often people talk about feeling that they're brand new, like they don't even feel like the same person anymore. You just feel that burden gone and you feel like a brand new person. But I think it's really important for new believers to know that it's not based on emotion. Like, it isn't that you have to feel some amazing thunderbolt or something, you know, like some kind of experience, and that you have to have the high emotions to go with it. It's based on, as the Bible tells us, would you say, Pastor Joe, that it's based on faith and belief, and it's not based on emotion?
Absolutely. The Christian life is not based on a mountaintop experience all the time. There are those mountaintop experiences emotionally and spiritually where we receive fresh joy, fresh love, fresh peace. But more often than not, that is not the experience of the Christian. It's occasional, seldom, but more often than not, there's a balance. There's the mountaintop experience, and then there are the valleys. There are some Christians who are weaker in faith, and they have many more valleys than they do the mountaintops. But the normal Christian life is not described by some of these modern authors who write books and say that if you are not happy and joyful and positive all the time, then you're not a good Christian. Well, that is not the Bible's portrayal of the experience of the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life has the mountaintops, but then the valleys. But most of the time, for most believers, and many of them are in a category which the Bible calls weak in faith, they're experiencing a lot of valleys. God will not let them fall away. God will not abandon them, even if they are going through a depression, or if they're afflicted, or if they have not had the assurance of their salvation for a long time. God is still with them. But as you said, we do not judge our acceptance with God by our emotional state or condition on any given day, because humanly speaking, one day we may be depressed, the next day we may be happy. And so if the guarantee of our salvation depended on what kind of emotional state we were in on any given day, we'd be mostly losing our salvation 80% of the time. But our salvation is not based on our changing emotions or feelings or mental state from day to day. Our salvation is based and must be based on some objective source outside of ourselves that is foolproof, and that the security of our salvation cannot be weakened or removed. Therefore, God establishes our salvation on the saving work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Since Jesus is God and Jesus is perfect and Christ's sacrifice and atoning death on the cross was accepted by God because it was scrutinized by the Father and found to be a perfect sacrifice. Therefore, every person that Jesus saves and becomes a child of God receives a perfect salvation that cannot fade away, and we will never perish. And therefore, our salvation is based on the objective work of Jesus Christ in his death on the cross, and that work cannot be reversed. There is no weakness or imperfections in it. When a person becomes saved, he or she is justified. He or she is declared righteous by God. It's a one-time act, and that declaration of being righteous and accepted by God cannot be changed. So whether we have, you and I have emotional ups and downs day to day, God never changes. And his work on the cross is unchangeable, it's immutable, and it is irreversible. And the benefits of Christ's death on the cross, like the forgiveness of sins, the permanency of our salvation, regardless of our weakness, both physically and emotionally and spiritually, cannot be removed. The devil himself, nor any other enemy, however strong they may be, cannot take our salvation away. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so my advice to our listeners would be, don't look to yourselves. When you struggle, don't look within yourself for any kind of strength to overcome, because from day to day, our faith fluctuates. Look to Christ. Trust in Christ. Look to the one who is perfect, who never changes, who doesn't change his mind about how he feels toward you. He loves you in the past. He loves you in the present, and he will always love you, just like a father and mother loves a child and accepts the child, even though they are often weak and disobedient. Our God is the perfect Father. He knows how to rehabilitate us. He knows how to recover us from a snare. He knows how to leave the 99 and find that lost sheep that has temporarily wandered from the sheepfold. Pick up that sheep. Put that sheep on his shoulders, the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus, and bring that sheep back to the sheepfold because he or she doesn't have the strength to go back themselves. How many times has the Lord done just that in bringing us back to himself from a place of weakness and emotional instability, a place of doubts, a place of despair, a place of depression, a place of hopelessness that we thought we could never recover from? How many times has he renewed our hope? How many times has he stirred us up spiritually and rejuvenated our faith, and in his own wonderful way convinced us to stand up by his strength and by his grace and forget those things which are behind and press forward toward the mark of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ? The fact that he's done that to you, if you've been a Christian for a couple of years or more, countless times, is evidence that he will continue to do that based on his work on the cross, based on his love, not your change of emotions, unto the very last day of your life. He is faithful.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ. If you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, you can contact us by email, firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also write to us at First Love Radio, Post Office Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to our Contact Us section on our webpage to ask your question. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We would encourage you to come back and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.